Play clock at 5. First down. Back to pass. RG3 looks. He fires. He lofts it for Barnage. He caught it! And he goes into the end zone for a touchdown! What a catch by Barnage! Right on his fingertips!
And what a throw by RG3. He led it where only Barnage could catch it.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, hour number 2, continuing to get into your thoughts on the Browns and, of course, the Atlanta Falcons last night, preseason game number 2. Obviously, some good stuff from the offense, some struggles on the defensive side of the ball. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We'll continue to take your calls. We'll also hear from head coach Hugh Jackson momentarily for the good and the bad there. But let's go to Roger in Cleveland now. Roger, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Great. Good, how are you, man?
Okay. Yeah, you know, the one caller, he was speaking about the Browns should go to more of a 4-3. Sure. And I was thinking the same thing. When Ray Horton was here before, he was running the 4-3, and the Browns were up to, I think, as high as 10th in defense in the league at that time. That was like, you know, when he was coordinator here the first time. But then he came back, and it's like he's just picked right up where Jim O'Neill left off with this 3-4, and I think that one caller was talking about the weight that Shelton lost. I was looking at last week's game, that the D line, especially in the middle, I saw Shelton dancing with the center. He wasn't even trying to like ball forward or nothing, or go under him or make a maneuver or nothing. And I thought that was. I remember when one of the players was interviewing, and they said, "Oh, Horton's going to have us plan to run on our way to the quarterback." Well, so far in these couple of games, it don't look outside of NASA, I don't see much of that type of philosophy being implemented as far as this game.
No, appreciate the call.
But he's right.
And that's what we said when we opened the show. I want to see the collapse the pocket from the front, get some push, and at least occupy or make them change directions.
Have we seen anybody other than Carl Nassib truly affect the passer, either in Green Bay or
Ogba?
Ogba?
Ogba did in Green Bay. He led the team in pressures, yeah.
Okay. But besides that,
Nassib's been the most consistent.
I mean, and last night, I want to say, you know, Kruger and Orchard got a nice chunk of work.
Here, I'll take a look at it right now. So for that game, on Pro Football Focus for us in terms of quarterback hurries, we had Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson was around the quarterback. Shelton was around it once. Schobert, Campbell, Nassib was really the only guy there. None of the outside linebackers other than Cam Johnson were able to do that, actually, get to the quarterback. So, yeah, it is obviously it's a problem. You had two quarterback hits on the day, one from Schobert, one from Cam Johnson. But, yeah, getting to the quarterback is going to be key for this team. And when you give – the problem is all of a sudden you're letting them – when they're running it and running it and running it and running it, it changes the way that you go about getting to the quarterback. And it changes the way that you are on defense, and you find yourself in a lot more third and manageables than third and longs where you can pin your ears back and blitz the way that Ray Horton would like to blitz. And I know that this defense, that's one of the things that has been, you know, on the mind of head coach Hugh Jackson. Here is what he had to say following last night's game: the good, the bad, and the things that need to be improved upon.
Obviously, we got some work to do. We need to continue to get better in a lot of areas. I thought on offense, Robert did some good things with the first offense. I don't think we're world-old yet, but I see potential of us being what I think we can be. I thought he played pretty well, did a good job of taking care of the ball and distributing the ball to some of our playmakers. And for the most part, I thought early in the game, protection was pretty good. Second half, I didn't think we played as well. To me, there was a huge drop-off, and there's some guys we got to get better, and we got to get them better in a hurry. I think on defense early, I think we're seeing a common theme that people are starting to run the ball at us pretty good, and we need to get that shored up fast, and obviously we got to cover better. So we got some work to do with our football team, offensively and defensively. I thought special teams tonight did some things better. We just can't have penalties and those things. But at the same time, I thought there was some really good things. Can't miss a PAT, obviously, with Coons. But I understand the process we're in, and we're just going to keep working at this thing.
What do you think Robert did better tonight than he did last week?
I thought he took care of the ball better. You know, obviously he didn't turn it over. We're in the scoring zone. He was able to make a huge play with him and Gary Barnidge, you know, down the sideline, where last week, you know, we're in a similar situation and it wasn't the right situation and we turned it over. So that's improvement to me. And I thought there was some consistency, you know, a little bit in the running game. I thought Crow did some good things running the ball. So I see signs of things that I need to see on offense as we continue to move forward.
Pryor's getting open deep 2 weeks in a row. What does that do for your offense in terms of putting it out to the league that there's something there?
Oh, absolutely. It means they better back up because he'll run by you. You know, he's made some huge plays, but he's got to continue to get better. You know, he does. There was a couple times where from a legal formation standpoint, could have been called, wasn't. But we got to make sure we shore all that up because the season's around the corner. We got to be much better than what we were tonight.
You and prior to both the Roberts touchdown passes, he had big runs himself. Mm-hmm. Any apprehension on your part at all with that? Or do you think that's integral to setting up what he later does?
No, I think a couple of them, both of them were called runs, you know, and he was smart. You know, he was able to take care of his team. What I mean by that, get on the ground. You know, you got to be out there playing, not standing next to me. And I think he's gotten that message and he's handled that right. But I don't, you know, there's certain times we'll do certain things with him. But again, we're going to let him play quarterback. You know, I think this guy is growing. I think we see it and I think he'll continue to get better.
With Cam, once again, there are still some issues with the shotgun snap.
Uh-huh.
You said you don't want to have to deal with it.
Yeah, I don't want to have to coach that, you know, but again, it's something we got to fix. You know, that was disappointing, you know, to have the ball go over the quarterback's head. And I think that's the first thing he said to me. He said, Coach, I can't do that. You know, I think he gets it. But again, you know, he's young at the position, and we're going to keep working with him and get him better because I think he has the talent that we want. And obviously the most important thing is got to snap the ball first, and he'll get that.
Hugh, how important was it for you to give the guys a shot on that fourth and two and to see Duke come through?
It was very important. You know, I thought, you know, I wanted to see our guys in tough situations as tough as they are, and that was one. And we didn't handle that part of it real well, you know. We only had a couple plays in that situation, and we call one, we get a penalty. You know, we're in a legal formation. So that's unacceptable to me, you know, especially with our offense. That's something that should be cleaned up real quickly because that we shouldn't do that, can't do that, obviously.
What do you think the issue is with the run defense?
I think it's, I think first and foremost, everybody's got to just do their job. And I think what happens when you start springing a leak, everybody tries to cover up for another guy. I'm going to cover up for this guy. And I think we need to do that better. But more so than that, I think we've got to tackle better. You know, I think there was a lot of missed tackles tonight. You know, I'm can't wait to watch the tape to see exactly how many missed tackles we have. But we got to be a better tackling football team. So, this is a work in progress. We get it. And we got to do it better in what we're doing it.
Can you talk about Carl Nassib? I mean, does he already seem to be just the kind of guy that's around the ball a lot?
He is. I mean, he makes plays. I mean, again, I thought our young defensive linemen, they fought. You know, Carl, a huge sack, knockdown fumble, sack fumble. I mean, the guy's doing some really good things. And he's going to be a good football player, obviously. And but again, you know, he's got to keep learning how we do things, how we go about our business on defense and keep getting better. But he has the characteristics that we're looking for.
Corey Coleman had uniform on and warm up.
Uh-huh.
Did you give any thought to playing him tonight, or do you think he's getting close? Or what was the thought
process? Oh, I think he's very close. I mean, my thought was to get him and Josh both out there in pregame, and so they understand the process of how we do it. So hopefully next week they'll have an opportunity to both be out there and play in a game.
Good. Thanks,
thank you very much.
Yes, please. Corey Coleman, Josh Gordon, close to coming back. Hugh Jackson, I love how matter-of-fact he is. He just says, look, not good enough. A lot of things we need to work on, a lot of things we need to get better with, and we're going to get better with that. You know, that's what we're going to do, and we're going to do everything we can because what I saw out there was unacceptable, and he basically called it out. Second half, completely unacceptable. They ran for about a buck 50 in that half.
Yeah. How about?
Not okay.
Okay, Corey Coleman, Josh Gordon. What about Joe Hayden for you? I'm throwing that back to you. Do you think we see Joe Hayden against Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Or do you think you need to see him if you're Hugh Jackson or Ray Horton?
I think you want to see him. I think you want to see what does that do with him and Tremont. Where does Gilbert go? Does Tremont jump inside of the nickel, which we've seen in years past? Are they happy with Gilbert? Does Jamar Taylor get the playing time? I want to see that, and I want to see – because you know in these defenses today, communication is so important. And now, obviously, you're going to have the corner playing the receiver that's in front of them typically, but there are a lot of nuances to it when they move in motion. We saw that yesterday, and in fact, on one of the plays where they ran it into the end zone, but it got called back from the holding, we were confused by their movement, and I knew all they had to do was run it to the right edge and they were going to walk in the end zone. There's nobody out there. So I think that just to get the communication, the working together, the timing down, I think is important.
I agree. And it's something that I want to see. The same way that they had the factor fiction, is this Joe Thomas's, are we going to see Joe Thomas again in the preseason at all? Factor fiction. And if I'm Hugh Jackson, and maybe not so much Joe Thomas, because what does he have to prove?
Nothing.
The only thing that he essentially has to prove to me, if I were Hugh Jackson or Pep Hamilton, and maybe even to himself, is how bad is his back injury? Because the next time, if he doesn't play in the preseason, the next time he will go full bore will be September 11th. And what happens if he goes out and that back's still tight? Because we weren't able to test it against the Buccaneers and definitely not against the Bears, but it would be this week, Monday through Friday, test that back, get him out there for a series, and then get him out just to make sure that there's no hiccups in his recovery to have Joe Thomas full 100% and full go by September 11th.
Yeah, that's guy I'm not worried. I mean, you've kind of had him next to Joel Bitonio for so long. Their communication is fine. They're going to be fine together. But he's the one that I'm the least concerned about. But I do want to see Hayden out there and want to see what it does to this defense. Maybe it does help this defense out getting Joe Hayden back. I don't know how he helps them stop the run, because that seems to me right now to be priority number one. All right, when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. We can still hear from RG3. We've got the Friday forecast still to come. But more reaction from you about what you saw. Browns, Falcons, offense, exciting, fireworks, explosivo, defense. Let's get a little bit better on that side of the ball, gentlemen. All right, we'll be back with more on the Browns right after this.
Matt Sims in the shotgun. Perkins, the tight end, standing on the right. Here comes a long rush from the left corner, and Carl Nassib knocked him down. The ball came out, and Carl Nassib recovered it too.
That's a hat trick.
The sack, the strip, the fumble recovery, the hat trick. There is Doug Deacon and Jim Donovan on the call there on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network last night for Carl Nassib. Continues to be a bright spot on this defense. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm, 216-578-0850. And look, next week, I think a very important game for this team. When you look at the matchup with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this is another good offense that you're going to have to contend with. And this is a team that you're going to have to come out and you're going to have to stop the run. Nobody, I think, really had a bigger renaissance, as it were, in 2015 than Doug Martin, who came out and just had what I would call an absolute monster season last year for this team. And he was a guy that, comes out, he thought he was done perhaps, but he has a big year, and you're going to have to contend with him. I'm pretty sure he was the leading rusher in the NFL last year. I'm looking that up as we go.
You're right. You're right. And just spending some time yesterday in between the pregame radio show, I got to go down on the sideline, not necessarily for warm-ups like in pads, but as guys were getting warm up and going through their routine, I had an opportunity to spend some time with, just a couple of the Atlanta coaches that, I've become friends with or familiar with throughout my time in the NFL. And I asked that question just as I did when we had the gentleman, the beat reporter for the Atlanta Falcons. I asked about the division, and he went, said obviously Carolina's the cream of the crop and so on and so forth. But then I said, how are the Bucks? Because we have them next week. And the one thing that he said, and this is regards to Jameis Winston, he goes, that kid is going to be special.
Yep.
So going into year two, we saw the steps taken by him after some early struggles in the season, grasped really well the NFL game, and flourished with Vincent Jackson as well as Mike Evans outside.
Yeah, and by the way, Doug Martin last year, 1,402 yards rushing, second in the NFL, 4.9 yards per carry. So this is a big test again for the Browns' run defense. Let's go to the phone lines, and let's go to Mike in Xenia. Mike.
Hey, how you doing today, fellas?
Good, man.
Hey, that's great. I think our offense is going to be great this year, and also I think our tackling needs a little more work.
No question, it needs some serious work. I think there were a lot of missed tackles out there. Hugh Jackson not happy about that at all. It's something that does need to be cleaned up. Let's go to Tim in Brunswick now. Tim.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, Tim. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I was just wondering one thing. I only have one question for you guys. Would Ray Horton consider changing that 3-4 to a 4-3 if this 3-4 isn't working out for them guys?
So a lot of people are asking that. The 3-4 not working, going to the 4-3. It's what he's ingrained in. We will see some four-man fronts on this defense, but I don't expect a wholesale switch in the base defense at this time for the Cleveland Browns. When they were a 4-3 defense when he took over, you remember in the big experiment back that season was moving Jabal Sheard from 4-3 end to 3-4 backer, and he's gone back to a 4-3 end for the most part in that hybrid front in New England and had success again. So I think the investment has been made into the 3-4. There is a lot of 4-3 personnel here, though, especially with the young ends that you drafted in Nassib and Agba. Could be something you do in the future, but I don't see that happening right now. But again, they are, you know, he said it's going to be like a kaleidoscope, and we will see many opportunities for that four-man front. Again, the big cause for optimism coming out of yesterday was centered around the offense, and we're going to hear from the Browns quarterback Robert Griffin III after the second preseason game, his thoughts on his performance right now.
This was a step in the right direction?
Yeah, I think it was. We were able to get things clicking a little bit out there, working the long ball. Still got a lot of things to work on. And, just as a team, continuing to work on doing things the winning way. And, I think that's what Coach echoes to us after the games. And we got to continue to hammer that in from the older guys all the way down to the younger guys. And we will.
What did you see on the two touchdown passes?
It's just two great plays by two individual players. TP, running by a guy, making a play for us. And then Gary making an amazing catch. Those things don't happen. Without the offensive line blocking and the backs and everybody being accountable and being where they're supposed to be. So I thought it was great execution on those two plays. And, we'd love to have that on every play.
On the first down, each of those touchdown drives, you had a nice long run and you slid afterwards. Did you work on your sliding? And is that something that you're committed to doing? And is it going better?
Yeah, fully committed to it. I think it's something the coach has emphasized to me. It's something that I've learned over my career, just with situations that I've been in. And, I can't thank everybody who's helped me get to that point where it was hammered in. And, I've learned my lesson from my mistakes in the past.
From your experience, how can a good run get a defense on its heels? From the standpoint, you made two good runs before the touchdown passes.
Yeah, I think, nobody wants to get the ball run on them. So it's not just me running, but, Crow and Duke and Watt and all these guys are doing a great job picking up the dirty yards. Everyone sees the sexy run of the quarterback going down the sideline, but they don't see those nitty-gritty runs that those guys make all the time. So I'm appreciative of that. I know the offensive line is too. And those things don't happen if everybody's on the same page.
Can you talk about the chemistry developing between you and Terrell and just, what a nice play that was for both of you guys?
Yeah, TP's been making plays all camp, really all offseason, so it's been an amazing transition for him. I think everybody's excited for TP. Like I said, I'm a quarterback. He's a quarterback, and, we same high school graduating class, so it's just been really cool to see the transformation, and you can see the vibe on the sideline whenever TP makes a play. Everyone's excited for him because they know how hard of a transition it's been for him.
You said the thing you liked best was that you took care of the football. How much did he stress that from last week to this week?
No, it's not just from last week to this week. It's been the whole time. And as a quarterback, you never want to throw interceptions. You don't want to put your offense in those situations. So last week that happened, and it's just reinforced. Since the offseason, since I first got here, coach has always been about protecting the football, and we did a much better job of that overall today with turnovers and fumbles. So that's something that he's always emphasized, something that we'll continue to emphasize, and something that we'll go out there knowing that we got to protect the football and still be aggressive in our mindset.
Is this like riding a bike? Are you somewhat back in the comfort zone now?
It's just football. It's fun. And you know, I said it last week, just the opportunity to get out there and play with great people and people that you trust and know that everybody has the same goal, and it's to make this this team a consistent winner. It's just fun to go out there. At the end of the day, it's just like practice. You know, it's just brighter lights and there's more fans. So it's truly a blessing to have the opportunity to go out there and play, and all those guys feel that way, to showcase their you know, their skills and help his team win.
What can you and Cam do to kind of get the shotgun snap thing down?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's something that can't happen, and he knows that, I know that. And we'll continue to work. And it's not just, you know, shotgun snaps. It's a lot of things that everybody has to work on consistently to do things the right way. You know, we got a first down out of it, but, you know, you just can't, those things can't happen. He knows that. I know that, and we'll make sure it doesn't.
Do you look around you sometimes when the defense is on the field and you see Corey Coleman standing there in the street clothes and see Josh Gordon and Andrew Hawkins, and do you let yourself imagine the possibilities of what this is going to be like? Everybody's.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to imagine it, but, you know, it brings a smile to your face, but we have to make that a reality. It's just like potential. You know, everyone can have potential, but you have to actually make it happen. And it's not what you say, it's what you do. So when we get those guys back, I know they'll be excited. They're itching to play. We're itching to have them. But the guys that are in there right now are doing a great job of helping us move the ball and have consistent plays. You know, Rashad Higgins steps up and one of our starting receivers goes down, Taylor Gabriel, and makes a great catch on an ensuing play. So, you know, whenever anybody goes down, guys have to step up and make plays, and guys have done that.
What do you think two touchdowns and avoiding turnovers does for the starting offense?
No, I just think it gives it confidence. You know, that's what the preseason is about. New coach, you know, new quarterback, new system, new mindset. And, you know, we're trying to erase the tape and record a new method. So I think it gives everybody confidence that we know what we can go out and do when we're clicking on all cylinders. And, you know, we can run the ball, we can throw the ball, and make plays happen.
Did you reconnect with Kyle Shanahan before the game or after the game? And if so, can you share with us maybe something he may have said to you or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I did. I did get a chance to talk to Kyle. I didn't get to see him on the field because he was in the box. But, you know, we talked before the game and, you know, just wish each other good luck. And, you know, he's got a great group of guys over there that he's working with. And, you know, I've got a great group of guys that I get to work with every single day. So it was cool to hear from him. Got to see Matt LaFleur, Mike McDaniel, a bunch of guys that have been that I've had in my career. And, you know, Mike was here in Cleveland. So, you know, it's good to see those guys.
Pretty good.
All right. God bless.
That was starting quarterback Robert Griffin III last night after two touchdown passes, one to Terrell Pryor, one to Gary Barnage, giving the Cleveland Browns a very optimistic approach to offense. We're going to take a timeout. Coming back, we're going to do the Friday forecast. You're listening to ESPN Cleveland on 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, breaking down the game. Final segment, Matt Wilhelm, you and I will each give out a game ball and give our final thoughts here. But for now, let's bring in our producer, Danny Cunningham, for the Friday forecast.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
All right, give me one word to describe your thoughts on this team through two games.
Danny, you know that I'm incapable of that.
Go ahead, you go first.
I can't. Well,
you got to make it happen.
One word?
One word.
I'm going to go three words. I'm going to change it. Okay. How about less than five words? I'm going to say figuring it out, because there's things that you think that they have figured out, that they know, that are very, they're very sure of. But I think at this point right now, there are a lot of things that they're not sure of. So they're still figuring it out.
I'm going to stick to the one word: shootout. That's my word to describe my thoughts on this team. Shootout. Points will be scored in games featuring the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
Not bad.
Thank you. Wonderful.
As we get ready for Tampa next week, what's the one goal you want to achieve from next week's trip?
I think Nathan, you're obviously going to be there. I'm not. I'll be here, you know, in the Dog Bowl, potentially doing the show pretty much all next week, holding down the fort. I want you to come on the air and address the fact that Ray Horton has fixed the defensive front, and they look, I don't want to say dominant. They don't need to be dominant, at least not yet. They look improved and fitting better in their practices against the Buccaneers, which will carry over hopefully into the game on Friday night.
I think you make a very good point right there. I think for me, I want to see them defensively step up to the challenge. That's on the run against Doug Martin. That's in the pass against Jameis Winston, Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans. I think these are big tests for this defense. So I want to see that. And I also want that's probably the number one goal. I want to continue to see this offensive line gel, and I want to see the elimination of negative plays and mistakes. That snap from Cam Irving. I want to see Cam Irving continue to improve there, eliminate those. You can't have that stuff. So to me, though, defense is the number one thing. I would say that, you know, let's say you have 10 concern points to put. I'd probably put like one or two to the offense just, you know, for to clean up things, and I'd put the other eight on the defense.
Sure.
So my focus right now is on the defense of the Cleveland Browns.
How important is it to get the guys who didn't play last night on the field for not just this week's game, but the final two preseason games? Who should play and who doesn't need to?
Well, I think if anybody doesn't need to, it's Joe Thomas. But that goes against my fiction on should he play another snap in the preseason. And the only reason, it's not because Joe needs it, it's because Joe needs to, or Joe should test his back if his back is truly an issue. And only Joe, the trainers and coaches know that. So if he's out there, maybe he's testing it. If he's not, the back is not an issue. But I definitely want to see Corey Coleman. We've been kind of teased with him on what he's done pretty much all training camp out there in Berea, and that especially that Friday night scrimmage, but didn't play in the orange and brown scrimmage, didn't play in either preseason game. So every opportunity that he's really had
2 weeks ago
to go national and show off what he can do, he has not. So I think this is a great opportunity on national television to showcase what the 15th overall pick by the Cleveland Browns can do. And I think Josh Gordon, if he is in fact 100%, the sooner he can get back into a game scenario, the sooner I think that Adam Beard and his staff, the strength conditioning staff, along with Josh Gordon and these trainers, will take, you know, those small incremental steps towards having him ready come week five.
Yeah, I think to me the guys that have to get on the field are Gordon and Coleman. Gordon to get that rapport going with Robert Griffin III. Coleman just to kind of get that rapport as a unit, figure out where guys are going to be, how they work together, running their route combinations. I think it's critically important. Joe Thomas, I'm not really worried about. I would like to see Joe Hayden out there. But to me, the two guys that you've got to see out there would be Coleman, Gordon, and just so they can get reps. Because Josh Gordon's going to have to stop getting those reps for about a month before he comes back and you play New England. And it's not like the bye week's coming up soon thereafter so that he can, you know, take that time and get reintegrated. After he comes back, you play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, geez Louise, 7 games, 8 games until the bye week. So basically half of a season. So he's got to come in and be able to hit the ground running, and I think getting reps with Robert Griffin III in Tampa will be critical to that, and maybe even getting some against the Chicago Bears.
Rank the top three rookies on this team right now.
Top three rookies. I will go Corey Coleman, Carl Nassib, and Emmanuel Ogba.
Corey Coleman for me. Carl Nassib. Emmanuel Ogba.
And Hollywood Higgins, a close fourth.
Hollywood Higgins, honorable mention. Derek Kindred.
Yes.
Honorable mention as well. Spencer Drongo. Honorable mention. The rookie class, to me, I'm pleased with them. I mean, Dominique Alexander would get an honorable mention. I think Scooby's made some nice plays. There are some guys out there that certainly are contributing from that rookie class. So that's a good thing for this Browns team. Hollywood Higgins, very smooth. Just very smooth. I think he's a guy that is just going to annihilate zone coverage. He seems to have a knack for just running his route, finding the soft spot in zone coverage. Obviously, we saw the touchdown against Press Man, so he's been very solid. I think the rookies have been very, very good thus far, and we're off to a good start there. But I think Coleman's popped, Nassib and Ogba popped so far, and you want to see more of that. And I think you want to see more of that as they get more and more, you know, reps. And I want to see how much they play in this game against Tampa. It seems to me like those guys are going to get in there. What one thing that is starting to stand out to me, or maybe it's just in the process of figuring it out, is I don't know that we have that core guy group yet that's going to play every snap on defense.
No, we don't.
Seahawks.
We have yet to figure it. I think we might have it at linebacker, and I think we definitely have it minus maybe the nickelback on what we'll do when a team goes three wide receivers. We'll have it in the defensive backfield, but I don't know who. I don't think we figured out the defensive front. The only mainstay is probably Danny Shelton.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we didn't see John Hughes last night either.
We did not see John Hughes, and he was the guy slated to start. Obviously, we know we're not going to see Desmond Bryan at all because he is done for the season. So they need to find that other guy, that third amigo up there in the 3-4. But I think we've got – I think our sub-package guys, I think we're going to see a lot of Agba and Nassib.
I agree.
Do want to see – and I do think we need to see Kruger and Orchard get to the quarterback as well as those guys and figure out what you're going to do exactly on that defensive front, whether it's base or whether it is the sub-package. All right. When we come back, it will be our final thoughts. We'll hand out some game balls. We'll take some phone calls, 216-578-0850. We will also read some of your tweets. So last chance to get in here and share your opinion with us, 216-578-0850 on this Friday before the Browns head to Tampa Bay on Monday for a week of joint practices. And then, of course, the game next Friday night against the Buccaneers primetime on ESPN's. Gern Wilhelm, CBD, more to come. Back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. All right, Matt, let's hand out some game balls here in this one. I'll give you one offense, one defense. Maybe I'll give you two offense, one defense.
I'll just need one for each. I'm going to give my game ball offensively to RG3. He is doing everything that I need to see out of a starting quarterback, and I thought what you called out for was in a couple of the possessions, let's say in the first two possessions that they have is to go down and get a touchdown. They did that. And I think not settling in those zones for field goals anymore, should have had, you know, potentially a touchdown last week to Barnage on a bang-bang play, had Barnage bent it a little bit and maybe RG3 taking a little zip off of it. That would have put us in a scoring position last week. We scored, you know, two touchdowns yesterday. That's winning football. So for that reason, RG3 is, you know, his ability to run with the football is also something that I love about this offense. I think Hugh Jackson's going to use that to the Cleveland Browns' advantage. Defensively, I'm going to give my game ball to – I thought Christian Kirksey played a decent game yesterday. At times, you know, when he gets locked up, as I talked about, he can be kind of Velcro, you know, getting belly-to-belly with a big guy who's just going to latch onto him and take advantage, you know, of a larger frame on a 235-pound linebacker. But I thought he popped off some of those guys, made some plays, you know, for 4 yards or less on the ground, and I liked seeing that as a linebacker.
I'm going to go, obviously, on offense, Robert Griffin III, obviously honorable mention to Terrell Pryor. RG3, by the way, on the season, 2.4 seconds in the preseason so far that he's getting the ball out. That was the magic number. He had never been under 3 in his career, so it is a massive change for him to be getting under the 2.5 seconds that Hugh Jackson wants. And I think that is something that is, that's a testament to Hugh Jackson, Pep Hamilton, what they do with these guys to make that happen. But RG3 has adapted, and it's funny, you look at it, Cody Kessler, 2.3, Josh McCown, 2.3, RG3, 2.4, Austin Davis, 2.4. This is how they are being coached. And for RG3, that was the biggest change for him, and I believe that that is something that is great to see. Defensively, I'll give it to Carl Nassib, the biggest play of the game, the sack, fumble, turnover, and he continues to be relentless and play very, very well. So those are my two game balls for today. I think that that's interesting. Now, there's a question that comes in from Tevin Taylor. It says, what solution to fix our defense, better line or better corners? To me, I think everything starts off up front and goes from there. And I think right now the questions are up front.
They really are. I mean, I think the fact of the matter is, I'm not overly concerned about it, but we are deep into the season, and I would imagine that we are maybe one of a few teams with this problem. Is we don't know who our starting three linebacker, or I'm sorry, defensive linemen in a 3-4 scheme, and or who our starters are along the 4-man front if we were to start the season in nickel or dime. Who is that? I don't know. We've tried different rotations, we tried different people, and we don't necessarily know who's winning that battle right now.
Yeah, we don't know, and Brian Vaughn thinks maybe there's a solution. He said, "Is Mo Pedman available to play his nose tackle? I think we pat him up and tell him the football is a glazed ham."
Either that or I was going to say glazed donut. football-shaped donut.
My Mo Pedman. Yeah, they've got to figure this out up front. And I remember going back to the practice in the siren period, they did 3rd-and-1s. And the offense converted, first team, second team, third team, converted every single one of them. And as a Browns fan, and somebody who's been around the team, was like, oh my God, the offense is winning. That's awesome. But when you're doing it against your own team, That comes at the expense of something. So that comes at the expense, in this case, of your defense. And this Browns offense has been getting the better of the defense, and we thought that was something kept. Now, it turns out when you go into games against other teams, the Browns offense has been pretty good. The Browns defense has been struggling. And at least the first team offense, we got to see it. We've seen big plays now. They've had six possessions. There have been big plays on three of those possessions. Big plays. That's 40-plus. They've done a good job of just generating, you know, eating up yardage, yards per play, which is something that, remember when the guy called, I wonder where that guy is. Could RG3 finish in the top half of the league at anything? And I said, yards per attempt is certainly something that he could finish in the top half of the league in, and I think he will. And you know, you see something like last night, and you do get excited about it. Articles are being written about it. People are getting excited about Robert Griffin III.
I saw a positive tweet somewhere, I think it was on Bleacher Report, by Skip Bayless. And for Skip Bayless to be positive about anything is a good thing. And I think it was something to RG3 starting to look like the old RG3 again.
Yeah, and it's, again, it goes back to having some fun with what he is doing, feeling comfortable. And, you know, he said something to me after the game that I thought was interesting as well, talking about when that light bulb clicked from that Jenny Vrentis article, that, you know, just being good enough wasn't. Because it was a good read, it needs to be a great read, and I need to demand that out of myself every single rep. And the higher percentage I get of greatness, that's better. He was 6 of 8 for 96 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he still said there's a lot of things that I need to work on. There are a lot of things that I want to do better. That's great.
And that is a guy who is truly relishing the opportunity that he has here with the Cleveland Browns. Because he has to understand that, you know, who he was and who he can become, because the Cleveland Browns were in a very vulnerable state as a franchise with a new head coach and new systems, you know, 15 years of quarterback controversies and quarterback troubles that RG3 interjected himself on, kind of on a prove it deal, you know, where there's incentives for him to make, you know, franchise quarterback type of money, but he has to prove it first. And I think RG3 is going out and doing that. And I think it's just a positive fit for us because, as I said last night on the postgame show, you know, RG3, who's 26, going to be 27 in a matter of months, prime years for a quarterback are at or around the age of 30. That's 3 years from now.
Yes.
That's 3 years from now. And when did, you know, I kind of say, you know, 16 is a learn a lot, take some lumps kind of year. 17 is to, you know, get load yourself up in that catapult. 18 is the year where all the bullets are going to be flying. That puts RG3 at 29, almost going to be 30 years old, you know, to be, you know, re-upped and probably and potentially being re-upped by the Cleveland Browns as the franchise quarterback in the answer we've been looking for.
Still a long way to go for any of that to come to fruition, but last night certainly was an exciting step along that journey and something we look forward to seeing more of. So the Browns off today. They will return to practice over the weekend. On Monday, they travel to Tampa. That Monday show, I'll be flying with the team down there, so you will be here with Michael Regeye setting the stage for that week, and then we'll bring you Cleveland Browns Daily live from Tampa Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then game day Friday. Should be the return of Corey Coleman. Should be the return of Josh Gordon.
Uh-oh.
So that's something we all want to keep an eye on and something that will be very exciting to watch going forward. Got to thank Sir Andrew Gribble for being with us. Remember, there's tons of great stuff, interviews, press conferences, analysis right now on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app of that game. Of course, we will be back with you next week. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. For Danny, for Matt Wilhelm, and Nathan Zgura. I guess I am Nathan Zgura, saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.